Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian.
And the Reverend Captain Kickass is also here.
We are expecting Peakless Mountaineer to join us. Hopefully he is all right getting out here.
He does
have a long drive, and sometimes...
And it's the holiday, right?
Sometimes things can go wrong. It is a holiday. Oh, yeah, Labor Day weekend. You know what that means, Captain? That means that Free Talk Live has been here now for 17 years in New Hampshire.
I think we've said this before.
Labor Day weekend is my day.
Labor Day weekend is the Free Talk Live versary.
That's when we moved. That's when we made the migration. We did the show on Saturday night, like we are here tonight, in 2006. And I had the moving truck packed up. We had a Penske moving truck because the U-Haul fleet was absolute garbage.
Right.
And Penske had actually just got a whole new fleet.
Yeah.
So they had all brand
new
trucks.
They were a bit more expensive, though, right, than U-Haul?
I don't recall.
Like 10, 20 bucks or something.
I don't remember noticing, like, oh, my God, shockingly more expensive.
No, it wasn't shockingly, but they are, like, if you're budget conscious.
It was a smooth ride, though. I'll tell you, it was worth whatever. If it was extra, it was worth whatever it was. But because I did have a U-Haul truck once when I moved just across town when I lived in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I got a U-Haul truck, and it was the biggest mistake. It was so bad. It was like a manual shift, and just trying to get that thing in gear, you could hear the transmission grinding.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
I had a similar experience. We ended up going with Ryder because like the U-Haul truck that we got was just so much of a piece of crap. And we were like, no, we can't even begin to load stuff. Like, we drove it from the U-Haul place
and
to the house. And by the time we got to the house, we're like, this thing probably won't even make it to the new place. And so, yeah, we ended up going with, we took it back and we went with Ryder. It took us a couple of days. We had to wait because,
Do you think U-Haul's improved their fleets since then?
No, not at all.
No?
No, I think U-Haul is the exact same company they've always been.
I mean, I know you just rented a van from them, but that's a little different, right?
Well, I mean... it was expensive.
Yeah.
Right? The per day cost is not expensive, but their
mileage is
buck 15 a mile now. Like, I saw an old TV show recently where they talked about U-Haul, and they're like, this thing is costing me 15 cents per mile. And they were complaining about it.
Right? Yeah, it was a lot of money back then.
And I'm like, oh, wow, man. It's like a whole dollar more now. So,
Well, things are definitely not getting cheaper out there. That is for sure.
It's interesting that. And again, I think we might have talked about this before. If we haven't, we should. I'm just feeling some Vujade day here, which is the feeling that nothing like this has ever happened before.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Monday, technically, which I won't be on the air on Monday on Free Talk Live because we have a different show on Monday.
Yeah.
But Monday is technically my four-year anniversary, my very first appearance.
You also moved on Labor Day.
No, my very first appearance on Free...
on Free Talk Live.
I moved on Memorial Day weekend.
Ah, okay.
But my very first appearance on Free Talk Live was on Labor Day weekend, the Monday of. So,
I see.
You know, Sunday night when we're doing the Sunday show, I'll mention it again.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's very cool that, like... Free Talk Live's first sort of versary of being in the Shire is on Labor Day, and so is mine. I think that serendipitously lines up.
We packed up the truck, got a pretty large moving truck because we moved basically my stuff and Mark's stuff up together, if I recall correctly, and my girlfriend at the time. So we had three of us moving up there. And Mark came behind us in his car at the time, so we kind of had a carpool going
on. Didn't you, like, get this
convoy place
sight unseen?
I had never been to New Hampshire before moving here. Yeah, that's correct.
And so I did that, too. Like, when I moved, I rented a place for the first year. But the place that I rented, all I did was talk to the guy over the phone and have him send me, like, a video walkthrough of the place. And so
I had pictures. The realtor sent me pictures. And that's it.
Wow.
Because I bought this in 2006, so video walkthroughs I don't think were as common back then. Pecos Mountaineer joining us. Welcome, sir.
Glad to be here.
We're talking about...
Double-bearded bastard, you.
I am.
We're talking about moving to New Hampshire. You've been here longer than the captain. How many years has it been for you?
2017.
So a couple of years.
A couple of years before.
Yeah.
When did you make the move?
I landed in the Free State for the last half of Porkfest that year.
Okay.
So June, late June,
mm-hmm.
mid-June.
Yep.
And then you came to Keene's crypto meetup, if I recall correctly, at the Rick's Ice Cream.
I went all over the place. I went to the Seacoast. I went to Manchester. I went to Keene. Just, you know, feeling my way around, kind of get
Keene
the lay of the land.
Was Keene the first stop after Porkfest?
I think so, yeah.
Because I feel like I remember you saying
yeah,
that.
I think I went from Porkfest to Keene, and then from there to Manchester, and then Seacoast, one or the other.
I don't know why, but, like, there's so many people that moved to New Hampshire, obviously. I mean, there's literally thousands of libertarian activists that have moved here to New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project, and maybe, you know, 1,000 more that didn't join the Free State Project but just moved here. And I never really remember where I meet people, but for whatever reason, you made an impression on me. And I remember being at that Rick's Ice Cream place with Lauren and Jim Canario, who were both there for that one, if I recall correctly. And it was a good one.
When did you first appear on Free Talk Live?
I
don't know.
That one,
CD,
I don't
things
know.
Like that, I don't
really?
Remember.
Yeah, don't know.
I don't know that one. I know it took at least a year.
Do you have a guess?
It took at least a year or two to end up on Free Talk Live.
I feel like when I started on Free Talk Live 4 years ago, that you were not on it. So, like, did you have, like, some hiatuses or in between?
Hiatuses?
Yes.
Plural
of hiatus.
Are those the seas of hiatus?
Did you have many hiati?
I've never been to hiatus.
Hiatai.
No, just took that long to get everything together, get a place ironed out, get a job figured out. Because
I
did not figure out anything before I got here.
Do you estimate that I was on Free Talk Live before you?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so I for some reason thought that you had been on prior to me because you'd been here for years.
Which is why I assumed you made the move before I did. Was because you were already on Free Talk Live when I started.
I just got lucky.
Right?
So you basically found out about the Free State Project, and you packed up your stuff and left as soon as possible.
I was listening to Stefan Molyneux at the time, he puts all of the episodes where he's being interviewed on his own podcast. And for some reason, he'd managed to forget to clip out the commercials on the podcast version of this show. So I heard your voice talking about the Free State Project.
Yeah, the Free State Project.
No,
blah, blah, blah.
What?
Right.
Because I had absolutely never heard of this, ever. And I was a little bit angry that running in the circles that I did, that no one had ever mentioned that this
existed. It was the best-kept secret of the libertarian movement for a long time. It may still be. I'm not sure.
I just want to say this to anybody out there who's listening that has a show of any kind. Podcast, video show, TV show, I don't, you know, whatever. You've got a show of some kind. It would behoove you. And I think you do this as well. I know Stefan Molyneux does it. I think you do this as well, where almost anything you do, any interview you've had, you have a copy of it, you've downloaded, and you post up on, like, the Free Keene site or...
I usually just drop it in the Free Talk Live podcast feed.
Right. And so this is what you should do. So if you're out there and you have a show and you're not doing this, start doing
it. Yeah, it's a great idea. So, yeah, as soon as
it's
I heard about...
It's better for freedom if you do that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, so as soon as I heard, wait, you're gathering the anarchists?
Yeah.
When is my lease up?
Right.
So,
and how long was it between
It wasn't long.
Oh,
it wasn't
good.
Long.
Convenient.
Yeah. Right.
Did you drive? You drove a van, didn't you?
Yeah. Got a van, packed all of my belongings into it, and just headed right up completely sight unseen.
I love it when that works.
Nice.
Three of us then
didn't have any contacts, didn't have a job figured out, didn't have my housing situation figured out. It's like, okay, look, I've got at least a place to keep the rain off my head.
And you did come up during summer months, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So he went totally commando, though. Like, you and I had some things figured out. Like, you had the radio show going on.
Yeah, I had the whole radio show.
Right, yeah. And you were like, this is why I'm moving the radio show and myself. Yeah. We're going to do this. I had my job situation dialed in, the job that I worked for. Like, it was time for a review overdue, and they were like, I asked for a ridiculous raise. They were like... But they did come back and they're like, is there any intangible benefits that we can give you to keep you around? And I'm like, hey, give me my wings. I want to go remote full time. They're like, done. Okay. I'm like, okay, after 5 years of working for them. So I had that worked out. So I knew I had an income, and I knew I had like a Seattle, Washington level income, right? Mm-hmm. Which when I lived on that income in Seattle, I was poor. Mm-hmm. Right, like barely making ends meet.
Seattle will make you poor.
I kept that same income when I moved here, and I rented like a 2-bedroom townhouse for this, like less than I was paying for a tiny studio.
All of a sudden, you're eating steak,
and I'm like, I go out to the bar because I didn't have my stuff. It took a while for my stuff to show up, so I had like this 2-week period of time where I'm sleeping on the floor of the kitchen,
right?
And like I had no stuff, and I didn't want to buy new stuff because I had stuff coming.
Yeah, sure.
So I went out to eat every night, and it gave me a chance to sort of explore. You know, the Keene area.
Right.
So I would go out to a new bar or restaurant every night.
Mm-hmm.
And I was constantly surprised at, like, how cheap it was. Like, I would go compared to Seattle, I would go out and I would have, you know, the most expensive thing on the menu, a couple of cocktails, and my bill would be, like, $35.
Now, this was 4 years ago.
It was 4 years ago. But, like,
does not apply today.
That same bill would have been $55, $65 bucks in the Seattle area. Now,
so now that bill would be $55, $65 bucks here. And say $100 in Seattle.
Maybe.
Correct. Yes.
Maybe.
Keene has sort of, over the 4 years that I've lived in this area, come up to the previous Seattle level. So I've lived through, if you will, the arbitration value of the time frame. So if my income has stayed the same throughout this entire process, it hasn't. But, like, let's just say it did.
If it had,
like, I would have realized the full value already as of probably last year. So at this point, it now costs me as much to live in the Keene area as it did in the Seattle area 5 years ago.
Right. Yeah, the one and only thing that I did have set up, I had my massage therapy license for Colorado, so I had to go through all the paperwork to get that recognized here.
Didn't they pass something this year that would recognize other licenses from other states?
Well, I mean, as far as I know, they already did. The issue usually is just that certain states have different requirements.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have been able to get that in Hawaii or New York.
Right.
Other than that, Colorado has the highest level of required hours of proven massage in order to get the license, and that's usually the big hurdle for getting from one state to another, is you have to prove that you have X number of hours.
Right.
But, yeah, that is the one thing that I had figured out, was I got my license figured out before I came out here.
I got to hand it to people like you who have been able to just literally pick up.
Yeah, you just went commando the whole
way. Throw everything into a car or a van and then just drive and then figure it all out when they get here. I don't recommend that.
I also don't advocate that. Right, yeah.
Because we have seen people fail at that particular attempt over the years.
And
but there have been people who've made it work. And the guys who've made it work have really kind of stuck it out. Like, they've been good.
It is about the will and the attitude, though. Like, people come here sometimes, and they just kind of expect freedom to be kind of handed to them. Like, it's already here, and they're like, oh, where's the freedom at? Where
can
I go?
Bro.
Like, no. There's work involved. We, you know, you're here to help us grow this thing, not to just, you know, revel in, you know, the successes that have been so far. And so I think that people with the wrong attitude coming here will suffer the demise.
We don't encounter those people really very often. There was a couple of them
a decade ago,
but they...
Yeah, I suspect that it happens more frequently to people who go towards, like, Manchester, Nashville, you know, the city area, particularly if you're coming from another sort of city area. Now, you should realize, if you're coming from a big city, Boston, Seattle, whatever, New York, Chicago, like, you know, Oklahoma, Tulsa, right? Like, I mean, these are big cities compared to Manchester. Manchester's only like 100,000 or so.
I think it's 125.
Okay, so.
But it is small.
It's So, like, you should immediately realize savings if you're coming from a city bigger than Manchester to anywhere in New Hampshire. You should see some arbitrage in cost of living and that kind of thing, even though...
The rent is terrible.
Well, it is, but not as terrible as the big cities by any stretch of the imagination. New Hampshire is still relatively inexpensive compared to everywhere else. So, my point is that... Like, I recently have made several attempts to get some folks who are intending to move somewhere, anarchist types, right? They're, like, looking for a better way, you know, and been like, New Hampshire, you know, what are we reasons film, you know, handed out, you know, some stuff or whatever. Right. And the response is, New Hampshire is too expensive, which I get if you're trying to buy a place.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that, yes. Except if you want to go north where it's still inexpensive. You can still get, you know, 5 acres for 50, 60 grand, you know, in the north country if you want to be isolated and, you know, off-grid.
If you can work remotely and you don't mind being, it being a little colder, then that's an option.
Yeah, but like, the people who live in places that are already less expensive than New Hampshire, like, there's just no convincing them to come to the Shire regardless. Mm. Like, just based on expense, right? If you're talking from a numbers perspective of how you're trying to get them to come.
Even Berlin is up way more than what it was a decade ago. Yeah. Like, you used to be able to get like a 3-unit or 4-unit multiplex in Berlin for like $30,000 or $40,000. Now it might need a little
60,
work.
70.
I don't know, man. I don't see much under 100 right now. There's a lot of 150s. I mean, I'm not looking at what types of houses, but there's a lot over 100 now in Berlin.
I was just talking about acreage, right? Like, you know, if you wanted to get something and do your own thing, the North Country, you know, mid to north, you know, New Hampshire is where, I think you mentioned the lack of zoning restrictions in some of these areas.
There are some of those.
So, but the difficulty is in some of these places, you can't get high-speed internet still. They're so rural that it just doesn't exist. So,
well,
I understand Starlink's
a thing now.
Is a thing now. So that might be a problem that you can overcome if you're willing to spend to acquire the Starlink package at your off-grid property. But you know, and then you can drill a well and put in a septic system if one doesn't already exist. Many New Hampshire properties have these things, but when these properties are sold, they're sold as you know, as is, we won't, you know, do any testing or repair. So if they don't work, it's not on us, it's on you. So you got to be careful about that stuff.
Yeah, the biggest things in the positive direction that I've seen out here, though, number one, the groceries. Just the very simple fact of not having the tax on them has made a huge impact.
I don't like the meal tax because I'm like, but these are groceries.
No, they're not. They are cooked.
It doesn't matter. The government shouldn't be able to steal more because somebody cooked the groceries.
Well, the government shouldn't be able to steal anything.
If I buy a rotisserie chicken from the deli, there's no meal tax on it. But if I go to Bob's Smoked Chicken Emporium, which doesn't exist, and buy a rotisserie chicken, that is meal tax.
Yeah, it's kind of like a value-added tax, which they have in a lot of countries.
First of all, taxation is dumb.
Yeah.
Right. Regardless of whether it's theft and evil and extortion, taxation is dumb because it treats everything unfairly across the board.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm just looking.
Yeah. The other one is the gas prices are way better here than they were in Denver, and always are.
Yeah, than Seattle too. Yeah.
I was just looking at Berlin here on Zillow.com, which is one of those real estate sites, and I remember looking at this several years ago, and it was. Most houses were under $100,000. Now, if you filter by $100,000 being the maximum price, you get two houses. One of them's an as is, so it's a real fixer upper, if not a tear downer.
Yeah.
And then the other one is $97,000, so just under $100,000. Most of them are in the like $150,000+ range at this point. So,
if you are a handy person, if you're good at like you know cutting and sawing and gluing and caulking and you know all these kinds of things,
or car repair,
or automotive, or automotive repair. Like there is a market for your services here. You can make out like a bandit because you could get into a $90,000 house, for example. You know, throw some time and money into it while you live there, and then turn around and sell it for 2-3 times what you've got into it, depending on the location.
Well, also, there's, as I understand it, we were just talking about licenses earlier. There is no license for a contractor in New Hampshire. Right. So you can just get into that business and you don't have to ask anyone's permission.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, and, we have way fewer licenses in general for various occupations.
Yeah, and hopefully we're going to see that getting reduced over time as
we're working on it.
Free staters are getting elected. As I mentioned, I think it was earlier this year. You seem to think it was earlier than this year, but I remember hearing something earlier this year that they got some sort of new law in that says that if you move here from another state and you have a license that is licensed in New Hampshire
so you don't have to run the paperwork to get the New Hampshire license to be recognized?
That's just what I heard.
It's like the reciprocal concealed carry license.
Right. Mm,
right. Nice. It's like that. It's reciprocal professional licensure.
Yeah,
if
I think
Sununu signed that. I'm pretty sure it's a done deal. So if you move here with a license for something, right, welding, pharmacy, TV repair, you know, whatever. I'm trying to think of the list of the Sally Struthers things that you could buy the online courses for back in the day. Mm-hmm. Like any of those things that require a license. If you have one already in another state, you move here, you already have that license here. They recognize that as you might have to go and, you know, be like,
yeah,
hey, I need to exchange this somehow.
Yeah, I don't know if you have to do that or you can just show your license from Florida or whatever and you're good to go.
But do your own diligence. But yes, they did pass that to my knowledge and like it's active.
Whereas if you, as we learned with the latest, what was it, last year, that hurricane that just wiped out, it was Fort Myers Beach in Florida, just completely flooded the place. And there were contractors that went down there from all over to help people clear their properties and fix their roofs and things like that. Yeah. And they were facing criminal felony charges for going down there.
Because they weren't licensed.
Right, because they didn't have the Florida license. And it wasn't like you could just call up some emergency licensing line and get some kind of temporary authorization to help somebody clear out the debris from their yard. No, you had to apply and then wait for however many weeks or months.
This is how evil the government is, everybody. People went down to this hurricane-ravaged area to help other human beings in need, right? To help them rebuild, right? And they did so, and they offered their services or their goods to these people. These people voluntarily agreed to accept their goods and services, and yet the state came down on them and said, no, you can't do this here. This is illegal. Even though they'd already done it, right? This is illegal here. We are going to prosecute you now for having done this humanitarian aid, right? We're prosecuting you for being a human.
The quote-unquote free state of Florida, by the way.
Yeah, reminds me of the people who get ticketed for feeding the homeless, which is a tremendous
problem.
Also,
that has happened in Florida
a bunch of times.
Arrested, not just ticketed, but they actually were arresting people in Orlando, and this was like 15 years ago.
I think it's been sooner than that.
Well, that's probably done since then, but I remember we talked about it like 15 years ago.
Yeah, I'll definitely plug Food Not Bombs. They do some amazing work we're going to go ahead and feed homeless people, even
we'll
though
anyway.
You keep giving us tickets.
That's exactly
and
who it
we
was.
We will just keep showing up. We will take the 8th ticket and the 9th and the 10th. Yep. We are going to be good to our fellow humans, even when you punish us for it.
So that was all us talking about moving here to New Hampshire. We actually have Dave Ridley on the line, who's also an early mover.
And responsible for a whole bunch of people moving here.
Yeah, and his Ridley Report, as we've announced recently, has come back. So if you used to enjoy the Ridley Report, you can now enjoy it again. I believe he's released at least a couple or three episodes within the last week at RidleyReport.com. He's also on Odyssey, username Ridley Report there. And Ridley has some comments here, so we're going to bring him on here in just a moment. The number is 603-283-6160, and he's been here even longer than I have. I've been here for 17 years as of this weekend as part of the Free State Project. He moved, I think, in like 2003 or 2004. We'll find out coming up here in moments. One of the, I think, first 50 movers, if not first 15 movers. We got more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. President Biden on Saturday toured parts of Florida that were ravaged by Hurricane Idalia. Singer-songwriter Jimmy Buffett died at the age of 76. He was as famous for his tunes such as Margaritaville and Cheeseburger in Paradise as for his laid-back style. Former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, well known for decades of Democratic Party politics, died at the age of 75. Richardson was the Energy Secretary and United Nations Ambassador in the Clinton administration and spent his later years trying to free detained Americans. Denzel Washington's The Equalizer 3 is expected to pull in at least $30 million and could become the second biggest Labor Day weekend opening in history. Another movie, Barbie, has overtaken the Super Mario Brothers movie as the top film of the year worldwide. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. I want to say thanks to Am I Free to Go, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMP program. And you can join Am I Free to Go. He or she is doing...
Is that A-M-I or like M?
Yeah, it's all one
period,
word.
I, period,
A-M-I. Okay. Am I Free to Go. And you can join that person by joining over at amps.freetalklive.com. That is our Patreon. It's $5 a month. That's what Am I Free to Go is doing. And it helps us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. So if you appreciate the mission that we have here on the show, then you can join Am I Free to Go at amps.freetalklive.com. You get some perks as well. If you don't care for Patreon, and there's reasons to not like Patreon, you can join through our Odyssey channel over at video.freetalklive.com. And the difference is with Odyssey, you're going to be supporting Odyssey with whatever fee that they charge. Mm-hmm. Odyssey also charges their fee on top of the $5. So we actually receive the full $5, and Odyssey is like, you know, gets whatever.
They charge
20 cents or whatever it is.
20 or something.
You know, some amount goes to the credit card company and so on. So if you want to do that, you will also get special access to the Odyssey chat room, which is, as of last week, has now gone to members-only chat.
Mm-hmm. I saw a post in there like, hey, where is everybody? How come this chat is so civil?
Yeah.
Well, because you actually have to pay to chat there.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a nice change.
Always one of my favorite combinations. Am I free to go? Am I being detained?
I was thinking somebody recently in one of the chats was talking about, and I know this seems weird to some people, particularly me, they want to pay the state for the privilege of having a vanity license plate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I think the character limit is 7, so you could do M-I- FR, the numeral 2, and then GO. And I
wonder if somebody's taken that.
MIFR2GO.
Okay.
Right.
I think there's lookups where you can search and see if somebody else
Yeah, there is. It's on the, I don't want to recommend a state based website, but, you know, yeah, there
you
it is.
You got to that way. All right. Let's go to Dave Ridley. He's on the line with us from RidleyReport.com. Dave, what's on your mind tonight? And by the way, I know you were calling for a different reason, but if you don't mind telling us, when did you move to New Hampshire?
Dave?
Oh, my bad. You were muted. Now we have you.
There we go.
Go ahead.
If you don't mind telling us again.
Can you hear me?
We hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, August of 04.
04. Okay. August of 04. So that's 2 years before I made the move.
I don't even know what I was doing in 04.
Do you know, at one point, the Free State Project did hand out mover numbers. Do you recall what number you might have been?
I think I was number 50, roughly.
Okay, 50. Wow. Not bad at all. Congratulations.
Yeah.
OG Ridley.
So you just celebrated your 19th year here in New Hampshire.
I did? Yeah, I guess so.
Yep, you did. Because I'm doing 17 here, and you were here 2 years.
Doesn't sound like
me.
You celebrated.
Well.
But, yeah.
Okay.
Well, anyway.
You'll have a blowout for the big 2-0 next year.
Yeah.
So, in fact, I know that Bonnie actually did an interview of you this weekend, and you guys actually did talk in detail about your move to New Hampshire and, you know, kind of what came before that and so on. So that, I believe, Bonnie is planning on releasing on the Free Talk Live podcast. So those of you who are subscribed to the Free Talk Live podcast will receive apparently an in-depth, like approximately hour-long, 45 minutes, somewhere in that range, interview of Dave Ridley. So very, very cool stuff. That is to come whenever it's ready, which hopefully
will be. I'm looking forward to it. Just
in the next week.
The historical perspective on this, just because, and like Dave just said, he moved here in 04. There's so many people that have moved here since I moved here. I moved here in 2019. And a lot of those folks probably don't have, like, the historical picture of the activism that happened that got, you know, even people who moved here 4 years ago to move here, much less them moving here. And so I think it's very important for something focusing on the history of the activism to be published.
Yeah, I think that's what her intention is with this particular series she's working on. So Ridley, what were you calling about tonight?
Well, one of the few good things to come out of COVID in New Hampshire was the creation of an organization called, it's currently called RebuildNH.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was something initially, and then they changed it. Restarting? What was it?
Reopen.
Reopen, that's what it was. Thank you. Reopen, and then it became Rebuild. What are they up to now?
They've stayed active, and what they're kind of like the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, except they're focused, you know, just on, it seems like it's on health freedom and the freedom to stay open during pandemics, you know, basically that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some other stuff they do, but that's the stuff I think they're focused on. They released a notice recently that I guess there is going to be a special election that they think is really important because of it. I guess the New Hampshire House right now is pretty closely divided between Republicans and Democrats. So one seat actually makes a fairly large difference right now.
Okay.
So they have sent out questionnaires to both candidates that I guess got through their primaries. One candidate answered, Jim Guzowski, I think is how he pronounces it. Mm-hmm. Across from you on the movie with Dr. Popolsku. I'm not sure exactly how he pronounces it. But the other candidate did not answer. So they've endorsed Guzowski, and I think the election is on the, I think it's on the 19th of September.
Mm-hmm.
So this will slightly probably change the balance of power in the state house, according to Melissa Vlasic from Reopening H.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's good to know. I mean, I think they have done overall, I think they've done some good work. There were some questionable things that the organization did at one point. I'm trying to recall exactly what it was that was kind of like a disappointment. I think they were, I think at one point they advocated the use of government force, and some of the people who had been fans of that organization were kind of disappointed by that, and I'm sorry I don't remember exactly what it was that they wanted the government to mandate. I think it was like they wanted the government to mandate that people running businesses would have to, like, couldn't fire somebody over their refusal to get a test or something like that, right? Because remember, there was a time when certain businesses, whether they're right or wrong to make this decision, certain businesses were telling their employees, you have to get the shot or whatever.
You have to be tested every day before you come in or whatever.
Yeah, whatever the requirement was. And Reopen NH kind of abandoned the whatever principle that it seemed like they might have had as far as government non-interference. They then wanted government to interfere in those businesses that didn't have their particular viewpoint, and I found that to be kind of distasteful. But overall, I think they do tend towards the right choices.
Yeah, you can't use government to force people to somebody's will and then use the government to force it to somebody else's will and think that it's good. You have to allow free will to occur.
Well, unfortunately, it seems like conservatives don't understand that.
No, they don't.
And that's what, you know, was made crystal clear, I think, to some.
But it's okay when we point guns at people.
Yeah, yeah.
Just not when they do.
Ridley, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. And check him out at Ridley Report on Odyssey.
Keep it up, man.
The number, again, he's putting up fresh content. He's been doing some ambush interviews, as they are called, where he just goes to some government bureaucracy or, you know, town meeting, etc., and stands outside with video camera and just hits them with hard questions when they come in or out, which is just fun stuff. So be sure you check that out. But yeah,
yeah, I wanted to say that since we were talking about the process of moving here, like, if you have any ability of extroversion at all, I would definitely suggest come down to the Pork Fest and just meet people left and right, get some contact information for the people that you enjoy conversing with, mm-hmm. that live here. You know, set up your social network so that you have that before you get here, because that does take a while to set up once you get here.
It does. Yeah, it does. It definitely helps to meet people in advance. There's no doubt about it. Although the three of us, we did not visit prior to moving here, and we've gotten connected pretty well, too. So, like, it's not hard to do.
It took a minute, though. It honestly does take a little while to get your bearings once
you get
out.
Sure,
you got
to get to know people. Yeah. And
I mean, I feel spoiled because
establish rapport.
Like, I didn't really know anyone, and then, like, I fell into this show 4 months later.
Mm-hmm.
And then that sort of accelerated my personal network of, you know, freedom-oriented people.
Oh, so, you're the captain.
So
people say that stuff.
And, like, way more people know who I am than I know who they are, even though I've met a bunch of these people. I forget names all the time. I'm sorry to you personally if when I meet you I go, who the hell are you again?
But it's
going to happen. Don't take it personally. Yeah. But yeah, like, I feel like I got on the accelerated network as a result of being on this show. That being said, I still don't feel like my network is all that big. It could be bigger.
Some people probably hate you because you're on this show too. So you may have established
If you don't have any haters, you ain't doing it right.
It's true.
And I'm used to that from being in bands. I mean, I was in a band called Pure Hatred for a really long time, a decade or so. And, like, before being canceled was a phrase, we tried to do some shows. We tried to get on the USO. Right?
The government thing.
The government thing, right?
Military.
Go play for the troops or whatever, right?
Yeah.
This is, I mean, I was still statist at the time
when
we were trying to do this, but they were like, no, we can't have you, we can't have anybody on that, like, promotes hatred and and I'm like, we're not.
Don't you bomb people?
Like, yeah. I'm like, first of all, we're not called, like, racist hatred. But we're not called, like, you know, ethnic hate. We're called pure hatred, which is an emotion that I think every human on planet Earth has experienced.
Well, of course they're killing people, but diversely, inclusively.
The irony about why we were trying to get on the USO is because we had given to, like, the bass player's girlfriend's brother or something. I don't know. Somehow he got a hold of one of our CDs. We have a song on there called Vacation with a Gun. And you can find all that at CaptainKickass.com if you ever want to listen to any of that. But the song is called Vacation with a Gun, and the Stryker Brigade out of somewhere near Seattle, one of the bases over there, Fort McCord, or one of the bases, they were running maneuvers in advance of being deployed to, like, the Middle East. So they're running maneuvers in Washington State somewhere. And these guys, this whole Stryker Brigade, they're cranking Vacation with a Gun in their military via their little tank things with the Strykers themselves, you know, and they're cranking these as they're practicing for war, right? And so it was this guy who was like, hey, man, you know, the guys really love your tunes, and, you know, we're cranking it when we're doing maneuvers and stuff. You know, you guys should get on the USO because there's a bunch of people who'd come and see you. And we're like, okay. And so that was in our application. We're like, hey, you know, Bob Smith of said, you know, and he'd like to hear my metal band play, and here's a link to our stuff and blah, blah, blah. And they were like, canceled.
Shut down.
Yeah.
So we were talking.
I'm a really big fan of the monthly new movers parties. As far as like once you
meeting
get
people.
Here, yeah. I mean, it doesn't work for everybody, but I am actually a big fan of the idea of first move to Manchester, then move wherever you're going. I mean, some people will stay in Manchester, and that's great. But a lot of people, like if you're more family oriented, you might want to head out to the seacoast. If you just kind of want to be further away from everything, you'll probably head north.
Right.
But I'm a big fan of like move there first and then move exactly where you want to go. And yeah, that's just a great way to make those social connections, get in touch with everyone, and just really establish, like, okay, what kind of people are here and who am I hanging out with?
Yeah. And also making that tour that you were talking about when you got here, you went and visited the seacoast and went to whatever social meetup they had, and you came out to Keene and you went to Manchester Taproom Tuesday. And I don't know if there was anything in the North Country at the time, but I think there might be now. So, you know, you can
go to the... It was not. I extensively relied on the community calendar.
This is the Free State Project. It's fsp.org/calendar. You can go and look there. I mean, it's nice to come up for Porkfest, but if you're working or whatever and you can't do that, you come up any old time, and there's always stuff to do. There's always a ton of stuff on that calendar.
We have that happen at our social Sundays frequently, where somebody is sort of on tour, right? They come to New Hampshire to
a German guy
try and figure it out, and so they go to, you know, they'll come to Social Sunday in Keene, they'll go to Taproom Tuesday, and they'll go to, you know, whatever, the different market days that happen in the different areas, and whatever's on the calendar, and they'll often show up at Social Sunday and be like, oh, I've been here, and I've been there, and I met these guys, and they said that I should come here if I'm coming out this way, and where should I go now, and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It is.
And easily my best life decision. By far, because there is absolutely nothing like having an actual community of people that see exactly what's going on and are perfectly willing to learn about everything and come up with ideas and just don't have that blinder on of the government always being a solution rather than really the problem.
I remember that dude Kirby coming up to Fork and Pork.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
listener of the show,
and sometimes caller.
Yep.
And he and I'm trying to remember the guy's name. He was just here recently too.
Yeah,
him
Scott.
And his wife. Yeah, Scott. Yeah. They came up, and the question was asked to Kirby, like, "Why did you come? Right? What? Finally, they came from like Indiana, I think, or something like that." And he was like, "I just wanted to see if this was real."
That's right. Yeah, I remember
and like,
that.
Like to some extent, I had been listening to Free Talk Live, and you know, I've been exposed to like Molyneux and a bunch of other podcasts, and you know, people doing content, and you know, anarchist thinkers and speakers, at least people speaking out against the state. And I was like, I heard about all this stuff, and I had a list of like multiple locations in the world. It wasn't just limited to the United States that I might try and go to. And I decided to come here first because it was the first place that I heard of where something was going on.
Right.
And also the idea of the Free State Project, I think, resonated with me because if you think back to sort of, you know, the founding fathers of the United States, like that's kind of what they did. They wanted to declare their independence from an oppressive ruling force and be free of all that to make all their own decisions themselves.
Sure.
And that's what I want.
Yeah.
So, and so I, you know, I was like, all right, I was making Seattle money. I got my wings. I was able to come, and I was like, you know, if I don't like it or it turns out to not be something, I can always leave. Right? So that's true. If you don't like it, you can leave. Well, I mean, this was my thought.
Plenty of people have.
Coming to the free state.
There's been a lot of people who moved here.
And they left. I got here. I'm like, no, this is totally real. And I'm with you. Easily the number one decision.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I shudder to imagine what going through the lockdown would have been like if I'd stayed in Denver.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
Same thing with Seattle. That must have been horrible.
I so feel like still to this day that I got out in the
You just dodged it, too.
In the nick of time.
Yeah.
And I had like a 6-8 month window where like the tyranny wasn't super oppressive. I showed somebody, a friend of mine back in Seattle, the video of the protest at the local co-op here.
Oh, right.
And I showed them that video, and their response was like, I'm pretty sure you'd get shot for something like that in Seattle right now. Because it was mid-COVID lockdown and all that kind of stuff.
That was actually 2021, but some places were still locked down.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones here. We got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, Ian. Hey, membership is theft. I mixed my labor with the Odyssey chat.
Squidward.
It let me suspend it.
Huh?
What about, like, the Lions Club or that kind
of
thing?
I said, I'm talking about the Odyssey chat. Membership is theft. I mixed my labor with the Odyssey chat. Let me secede it.
No. what were you talking about?
I mean, this may shock you, but the Odyssey chat is not actually nature.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. It's wild. It's wild. You actually have to have a thing be nature in order for mixing your labor to legitimately mean that you own it.
I think Sylvester's calls are getting progressively less intelligent.
Yeah, it's called citizenship.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no such thing as a citizen, Skeeter. I know this may be hard for you to understand, but there's a definition to citizen. Do you know what it is?
Yeah, it's privileges of a citizen versus the cost of a citizen.
You cannot define a word by using the word, Skeeter.
Yeah, well, you could define the word and see if it applies to anything in reality.
I asked you to define what a citizen is, and you proceeded to use the word citizen twice in your explanation of what a citizen
is. You ready? So citizenship is a contract. It entails privileges given to the person applying for citizenship and costs, which is clearly the taxation and following the rules. And the privileges are included but not limited to national defense.
Where are you reading this
constitutional
definition from?
Protection.
Yeah, it sounds like he's reading.
Constitutional protection,
from
security,
where?
Deep credit. That comes with it.
Yeah, you are reading. He stalled for just long enough to where he could look up. Where are you reading it from?
Where are you reading this from? What's your source?
I wrote it. This is the author, Skeeter Skeet, okay? So, privileges of owning.
Well, I don't recognize you as
US
a language-defining authority.
This is my own writing. What do you have against me reading my own writing? Okay,
we asked you for the definition of citizen.
He is giving a definition. He's claiming that there's certain privileges in return for giving up of rights. Isn't that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, and you were listing the privileges, and one of them was military protection.
Let me just complete the list before you criticize that, okay? So privileges of owning and living on land within U.S. territory, as well as direct access to the economy and the network within with other citizens and local
We'd be able to do all of that stuff without the government. We would be able to own land. We would be able to network.
Would.
We would be able to do all of those things without the government. And the general definition of citizen, if you look it up in like a law dictionary or most dictionaries, is one who owes a duty of allegiance in return for an obligation of protection, which is a very different terminology than certain privileges.
So he agrees with this definition?
No, he doesn't. He's talking about privileges. Would you agree that there is no obligation for the government to provide anything to you?
Oh no, they have obligations. Trust me, you can sue them for
not according to them.
For violation of constitutional rights.
In that case,
you can sue them for property rights. They protect your. They even protect your radio air rights.
Okay. So, if anything,
they have
they
actually
take them away.
Done none of that. There is no example you can point to and say this specific right has, in every case, at least attempted to be protected. There's just no case of that. And by their system, they don't owe that to you.
Thank you for the call tonight.
Yeah, thanks, Stuart.
The number here is 603-283-6160. Is that like Stuart from The Simpsons?
Or
Beavis and Butthead?
Like, sure, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, why not? Yes, that's what I meant. I just don't like calling him his chosen name because
he called from a different number. Wrong.
Yeah, he hasn't earned it.
Mm. He called from a different number tonight because we have his number programmed in, so we normally see his name pop up. That's why I didn't call him by his
name. He called him Squidward on Sunday, so I was like, oh, Squidward. Stuart, Sylvester.
Yeah, the fact is...
It starts with an asshole column.
I mean, this bears repeating because there's always new people tuning in, but
Let's lay this out. The definition of citizen.
Yeah, the definition is one who owes a duty of allegiance in return for an obligation of protection.
Duty be like the same, like, a duty of allegiance for a duty of protection?
That's another way to say it, yeah, sure.
I think that's what I obligation remember the Mark Stevens definition of citizen.
Yeah, obligation and duty are pretty much interchangeable, pretty much synonyms. So the idea is the people calling themselves the state provide you with protection,
right?
An obligation of protection.
They're
in return for your allegiance to them, meaning you will do the things that they say to do. You'll follow their rules and their system. In return, they will protect you. But all you have to do is a simple internet search, okay? Just look for no obligation to protect or no duty to protect. And you will find multiple Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court cases, including Warren versus District of Columbia, but many more, where the Supreme Court has ruled time and time again that there is no obligation to protect. And they have no obligation to protect you. They have no liability for not protecting you because they have no obligation to protect. So you cannot sue them. You can try, but it'll get kicked out of court.
And these rulings apply to the largesse, all of the government institutions, as I understand the legal ruling.
The only time that is there is an exception, as I understand it, is if you are a ward of the state, meaning that if you are, like, in their facility.
Foster care.
Yeah, foster care, or maybe a prisoner or something like that.
You've been committed to a state institution for mental illness, you're a ward of the state.
They have an obligation to try to keep you alive because you are money for that organization.
A prisoner.
Right? Prisoners, people in facilities or whatever, they get more money if you are there for a longer period of time. So they have an interest. It's not really a real strong interest. Like, they're not going to give you the best medical care in the world. They're probably not going to be very attentive to you.
Healthy, just not dead.
Yeah. I mean, unless your name is Epstein.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
There are exceptions.
If your name is Epstein, they have no obligation to protect even in their custody. But, yeah, no, if they could get just as well paid for your corpse, they'd have your corpse
there.
They
sure would.
Well, they might still have the obligation. They just weren't very good at it that day.
But as far as protecting you when you are not in their custody,
right,
then there is no such obligation.
Right. And so the key things for libertarians, the key takeaways are this applies to both police of any level, sheriff, whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? And it also applies to the military, including the National Guard.
Yep.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is that most people believe that the property ownership can only be done by the government. What the government does is it gets us to all act as though we agree that property is yours. Now, A, we can do that voluntarily most of the time, and B, by having a free market solution, we can actually have the enforcement of property much more effective than this version.
And this is why nothing happened to the guy that hid behind the car during that school shooting. No, the cop to protect.
That's right. That's right. There's more coming up here. You can join the show. That doesn't mean some of them won't. I mean, they might.
They might be.
You don't have an obligation.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.